Hi guys, it's been a while.
You're not wrong, sir. You're not wrong. Hello. Welcome back to the Bitter End Podcast with me, Tom Denny.
And me, Todd Jordan. Now, don't get your hopes up, guys. I'm really sorry. This isn't the start of a new season. This is just a bit of an update because we've been away.
We've been away for a while and we just want to let you know that we're okay.
We're okay, buddy. I've been loving getting your messages. Lots of people have been getting in touch with like cool ideas of what we could do for a new season. A lot of you just saying that you miss us. We miss you too.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. We appreciate the love and we can't wait to... We do still want to get back and do like a big, bad, proper new season of The Bitter End. But for now, we're just checking in and saying we love you. We love you. Hiya, hiya. We've been away. I've been, as Todd might say, working on the sequel to myself.
What does that mean, Tom?
It means me and my lovely wife have a beautiful baby girl now and... Those guys take up a lot of time and they do not give a shit about whether or not me and Todd can have some time to go and watch like all of the Hellraiser films or something like that. So until she learns or I find a little bit more of a window in my life, we've got to like, we had to cool it on the poddy. But, you know, we still want to deep dive into some silly franchise shit.
Tom, I'm so happy for you. I can't believe you have a baby. How did you keep this from me? I had no idea until now.
Just everyone signed no disclosure agreements.
Yes, it is true. Tom has produced a sequel to himself, which is a tiny, small, gender-swapped version.
Yeah, I know. It's like Doctor Who. I'm all for it. Some people are absolutely hating it on the internet, and those people can go and fuck themselves. So, yes. Gender swap, everyone.
Well, I hope you listeners will all join me in wishing Tom and Mrs. Tom the best for Tom Jr.
Thomasina. Yeah.
But we're here today. We've gotten back together sort of for the first proper time, just mano a mano.
Yeah, bro
since
down.
Since the arrival of little baby Tom. And we have brought ourselves to the majestic O2 Arena in tropical London, England.
Yeah, we're here to check out a franchise that we haven't really delved into on the podcast but has been referenced a fair few times. We're going to watch the fucking Muppets tonight.
Oh my god,
yeah.
Son, and when you say
waka waka waka,
when you say it's the Muppets tonight, what that actually means is that we're going to a matinee.
And we're not going to watch the Muppets tonight, the 90s series of the Muppets.
No,
we're just going to go watch the Muppets at the O2.
1 p.m. lunchtime on a Saturday. Tom and I are surrounded by children playing with sort of interactive sculptures and families all together.
We're trying to get in the pocket with a few drinks.
A few little drinkies because it is Daddy's day off. And let me tell you that me and Tom have no children with us today, and yet we're going to go sit amongst all of them. We're embedding ourselves like Jane Goodall amongst the gorillas to go and watch these Muppets do their thing. I hear the O2 Arena is quite big, Tom, and Kermit the Frog is pretty small. Are we going to be able to see him?
Well, I don't know. We're going to have to wait and see. I mean, this is a show that they've done at the Hollywood Bowl. They've done it. I mean, I love the Muppets. They have had some patchy moments in their career, but you know, all in all, I'm really hoping that they're going to pull out a big rip-snorting show for us, and we'll be able to feed back to you guys in a bit after the bong about how the Muppets fared, Bitter End style.
Yes, absolutely. Because I think it's safe to say, Tom, that you are a little bit of a Muppets super fan, right?
I love them. I love those guys. Kermit the Frog is my boy.
So is he your favourite? Who is your favourite Muppet, if you could pick one?
It's Kermit.
Kermit's your boy.
I think because like Kermit, he's got like... Another one of my big, like, kind of like, well, I say cartoon heroes is Charlie Brown. And I put, like, Charlie Brown and Kermit in the same thing. They've got, like, the pathos. They want to do well. They want to do well for their friends, but they are thwarted at every turn. And there's a sadness and a gladness. And
yeah.
that's character, baby. That's character. And also, he's got two of the best songs. He's got Rainbow Connection and It's Not Easy Being Green, which are two of the best songs, like... Those are beautiful.
I think it's safe to say that we'll get both of those today. It's a bit of a shit show if you don't get Easy Being Green.
I'm worried about Easy Being Green because that's more of a Sesame Street jam.
Right, okay.
But, I mean, if they don't do Rainbow Connection, I mean, I'm going to rip my seat out the floor and just bum rush the stage.
Do you want to know about my favourite Muppet?
I want to know, yes.
So I've got a real, real bonk on for Gonzo, the great Gonzo. I've always loved Gonzo.
Yep.
I have... a very, very clear memory of being a small child, you know,
One of those small ones.
One of those tiny ones. You're getting to know them a bit better.
Yeah.
And you know, very imaginative. Tom often off in my own world, doing my own thing, sort of interested in like performance and spectacle and tricks, but also, you know, not necessarily feeling like I was understood by everybody. And I heard the great Gonzo sing a really sad song called Gonzo's Wishing Song.
Okay, yeah.
Now, listeners, if you are near the internet, I strongly suggest that you Google Gonzo's Wishing Song. You'll probably find a video of him on TV singing it to Madeline Kahn, the actress that you might know from Young Frankenstein and Blazing Saddles. If you watch that and you do not cry, there's something absolutely wrong with you. Tom, can I sing Gonzo's Wishing Song to you? It's very short.
Okay, yeah.
I've practiced okay. this morning
yeah,
before we left.
Me,
are you ready? Do you know this one?
Let me find out.
Okay, so you've got to picture tiny little Gonzo in his little suit, and also tiny little Todd hearing this and being like, that's me.
That's sad.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
I wish I had a coat of silk the colour of the sky. I wish I had a lady fair as any butterfly.
I wish I had a house of stone that looked down on the sea. But most of all, I wish that I was someone else but me.
That's heartbreaking. Yes, I do know that song. And when we were coming up here, you were telling me about, like, you know, what are your favourite Muppets? Gonzo is in my top three for the exact same reason that Kermit is, because he's got the wackiness, he's got the goofiness, he's does into the weird stuff, but he's got mad, mad pathos and sadness.
Yeah.
Like, he's got quite a few sad songs. There's, like, a song about, I've seen on him the Muppet Show, being a wallflower at a dance and wanting someone to dance with him, and no one will dance with him. And then Camilla shows up.
Camilla the chicken?
Yeah.
His chicken bride. Okay, so we've both, because I also love a bit of Kermie K, right? So we got Kermit, we got Gonzo. Who else is in your top three?
Okay, slightly more niche Muppet. I'd say Uncle Deadly.
Uncle Deadly, the spooky one!
Yeah, he's great! No, he's great, because he terrified me as a child, but I've grown to love him, partly because, like, the puppet design is fucking amazing. He sings in the episode of The Muppets with Vincent Price.
Oh.
He does, they do a duet on You've Got a Friend. And now that's another one, listeners at home, you need to look up The Muppets, Vincent Price doing You've Got a Friend, because it makes this very tender song really spooky as fuck.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, he's been on a journey, that character, like, because he pops up. I was so happy that he popped up in The Muppets, the Jason Segel. The Seagull film.
Yeah.
As kind of like, and he had a, like a good, he became a goodie in the end. And then in the most recent series of The Muppets, which is kind of, it's divisive, he's in that, and like they've kind of reinvented him. He's meant to be like the Phantom of the Muppet Theatre.
Yeah.
And now he's just full on turned into like a proper lovey. Like he's like Simon Callow. working as like Miss Piggy's PA. And he's great in that. And I'm glad that he was given a bit more spotlight. So yeah. Who would be your third guy?
Do you know what? I don't want to sound basic, but I think I'm going to go Fozzie Bear.
Oh, he's classic.
He tries, right?
Yeah.
And he only wants to make people laugh, and he's not good at it, but he constantly... What I like is that he wants to improve. You know, he's always asking for notes.
We can all see ourselves in Fozzie Bear. I particularly like in The Great Muppet Caper, where him and Kermit are... brothers.
Okay.
And there's this whole gag.
That seems unrealistic.
There's this whole gag about the family resemblance between the two of them. And there's an amazing bit where, like, they meet some guy who's like, I knew your father. And they show a photo of their dad on his desk. And it's basically like a green Fozzie Bear with the Kermit frill around the neck and Kermit eyes. And it's terrifying. And it's like, whoa!
That sounds awful.
It's good. I'm with you on Fozzie as well.
You know what I'd like then to know is before we go in and we check out this spectacle, before we light the lights, before we play the music, before we get shit fucked up for the Muppet Show tonight.
Yeah, Dad's on tour.
Yeah, what is one Muppet that you could do without? One Muppet that can get fucked, son.
Oh, okay, because I had a top three in mind, but I mean, you know, and this is, I think this is one that a lot of people say, but I don't really care for Miss Piggy. But I know that you need her.
You need her.
So I'm just going to throw a couple of other names at you.
Okay, hit me.
Rizzo?
What?
I think, well, Rizzo has his moments. There's no Muppets I really out and out hate, but they all have. There's ones that have their moments that I don't like, and like Rizzo, I think is a bit too cool for school.
If listeners are unfamiliar with Rizzo the Rat, he's a slightly more minor character, but he features very prominently in the Muppets Christmas Carol.
So he's great in that,
alongside Gonzo.
He's great in that, but there's other moments where he's just a little bit too snarky, which isn't really what I want out of my Muppets.
Yeah.
And then the other one that I would say is like a little bit of a miss would be Clifford, the guy who was like the host of the Muppets Tonight. He was like the purpley pink.
He was quite a big Muppet,
Rastafarian,
right? Rastafarian. Yeah.
And he was like the Poochie of the Muppets. There's nothing really wrong with his character, but like there's nothing. He's cool. So his thing is he's cool, so he doesn't have any of that stuff that people really, that you can connect to. You can connect to, like, with Kermit and Gonzo. He's just a cool dude, and I think that's why maybe, like, he hasn't really popped up much since The Muppets Tonight.
Okay.
But so there's no real, like, big haters. It's just, like, ones that I just, like, they just don't tug at the heartstrings, and that's what I want.
Okay, I hear you.
You?
So it's hard, right? Because they are quite a lovable bunch, I suppose. Mm. You know, it's almost as if they were brought together for that very reason.
Something
I don't know
like that,
who
yeah.
cast them, like where they find all of these guys, but like they must scour the country to find them. It's amazing. This is controversial. I could do without Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem.
Yeah, I know what you
I'm
mean.
I don't like the way he talks.
I think
it's just a bit too, like, it takes ages to say anything.
He's one of the least endearing Jim Henson characters, like Rolf. I've got a lot of time for Rolf.
Oh, God, I want to hug him. I know exactly how he'd smell.
And
he'd smell like my grandma's sofa.
And he's another one of those characters that can do a real good sad song. Rolf doing What a Wonderful World. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, I know what you mean. Like, I know, like, Animal is a big favourite, but Animal is one of those characters that he's all right.
I like Animal.
Yeah. I prefer him in The Muppet Babies.
You know.
Let's not go deep dive into Muppet Babies. I've got a lot to say.
You know who's going to be my final two ones that I can do without? This is very controversial. Waldorf and Statler, the two old men.
Oh,
they're a twofer.
Okay.
It's boring.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It's boring, man. And, well, you know, I don't have time for haters.
Well, buddy, I'm sure they're going to be here tonight. I mean, by which I mean this afternoon. Let's see if they can change your mind.
Oh my God,
and also,
I hope so.
I imagine Dr. Teeth and Electric Mayhem will be. They do. Can you picture that? That's quite a good song.
No.
All right. Well, let's see.
Thank you for joining us on this Mupp date, if you will, guys.
Yeah.
And we'll see you after the gong. Well, that was weird.
It was weird, wasn't it?
I really enjoyed it, though. It was magical. I do feel like I have had my eyes opened like a child at a magic show.
Yes, and it's also, there was a bit of seeing how the magic trick is done involved as well, because you could see the Muppet performance like quite a lot of the time, which I was not expecting. And I was ready to get out of my seat and be like, this is outrageous, and flip a table that I bought specially from home, and then I was just swept along the magic. You know, you don't look at the puppeteers, you look at the character.
Yes, exactly. And on that note of sort of getting swept along with the magic, dear listeners, if you are wondering what that horrible noise is behind us, we're currently on platform 4, London Bridge. We've done a great job of making great time getting here from the O2 Arena. We're about to get a train back to Brighton, but we just simply couldn't wait any longer before sharing our thoughts.
You've got to get those thoughts out.
So it was kind of weird being able to see those puppeteers, because they were wearing like black berets, black stockings, all black.
They were like beat poets, but with, like, you know, their hand up Fozzie Bear.
Yeah. I mean, when they first brought out Kermit the Frog, at first I was like, oh my God, it's going to be Kermit the Frog. Oh my God. Oh, he doesn't have any legs.
Yeah.
He's like Lieutenant Dan, but he's Kermit the Frog. So that was a bit shocking. But then after a while, like, I completely stopped noticing that.
Yeah. And like Lieutenant Dan, he did get magic legs. Highlight of the show was a performance of Happy Feet, where you got to see, a full frontal Kermit the Frog doing the tap dance.
Yeah, they brought out like an extra puppeteer just to do their legs. That was good.
And that was a real good show of like the puppetry skills. I mean, because this was in the O2. That's a big old barn, isn't it?
Yeah, so for listeners overseas that may not be familiar with the O2, it was at one time called the Millennium Dome. It's like a massive dome here in London that was built for a big party for the Millennium, and then was completely forgotten about ever since until a mobile phone company bought it and rebranded it for shows like this.
Yeah.
And it was strange being there because this was a matinee show, so it was more for kids because there was a nighttime show last night and there's going to be another nighttime show tonight. Me and Tom were possibly the only people there that didn't have kids with us for the daytime show.
Yeah.
And so it was a bit noisier, maybe a slightly noisier crowd. A lot of children asking who's that every time came on.
Why are people clapping? Why are people laughing?
And then a child near me who very sweetly was laughing at everything everybody said, but even the things that weren't jokes, you know?
Yeah, like that kind of like pretending that you get what's going on.
Yeah.
That's cute.
I was cute.
But it also meant that, I mean, it's not necessarily as the Muppets has kind of always been. It's not necessarily like humour for kids. It's very much a family show, and there's a lot of like gags in there that are skewed. You know, it's family friendly, but skewed at an older audience.
Well, I've got to say, guys, they opened the show with a bit of political commentary because, as we record right now, the one and only Donald Trump is currently in the UK for a political visit, and so they started the show by bringing Sam the American Eagle out to like make a statement. And I must admit, I can't really remember what he said.
They were still trying to tweak the sound at that point, so you kind of lost that gig. But they were talking about like the special relationship between, and like they were talking about the Civil War. And
it was something like that.
It was an odd open. It's quite an odd thing saying like something in such a big place, but it picked up steam. There were some great moments in there.
What was your favourite moment?
I mean, well, the finale of Rainbow Connection was a real powerful, tear-jerking performance.
Honestly, like pins and needles all over my skin when they got to the big key change before the last chorus of Rainbow Connection.
Someday we'll find it, the Rainbow Connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me. All of us under its spell. We know that it's probably magic. Have you been?
That was a truly magical moment. That was, you know, I hope to never forget.
Yeah, that was great. What else? There was a very good Swedish chef.
Who revealed that he's got the words Bork Bork tattooed on his knuckles.
Which is,
that was a great gag.
That was great. There was like some nice little small skits with like Wayne and Wanda singing Send in the Clowns. And as soon as they said clown, a scary clown popped up.
Yeah.
Like a cool bit with like some of the spooky ghosts from the Muppets doing this like black light.
Yeah, it was the Blue Danube. And it was like a spooky Halloween version of the Blue Danube. That was good.
I'll tell you what didn't work.
What didn't work?
Well, there were some celebrity guests, and the celebrity guest they held out for the very end was the pop group Steps, who won't know, if you're not from the UK, you won't know who they are. But they're basically the cheesiest piece of shit pop band, and they came out to do Mana Mana, and did it like a sing-along, like a holiday camp sing-along with all of the crowd. And they counted themselves in, 1, 2, 3, 4, and still managed to all... They counted themselves in, and they came in out of time.
Gosh, that's just a savage little vision into what it was like being a Steps band practice, isn't it?
Yeah.
But there were some other guests, so we had a Doctor Who was there.
I can't remember which Doctor. It's not one of the new Doctors.
I'm not
it's
a Doctor
old,
Who guy, no.
It's an older Doctor, but that bit was like Doctor Who meets Pigs in Space crossover. That was pretty fun.
We had the old man from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah, Giles from
Buffy the Vampire Slayer was there. He was trying to recite Wordsworth while Pepe the King Prawn wanted to do a song about shaking your ass or something.
Yeah, that was quite fun. There was some good.
The whole thing was
bobs.
Co-hosted. It was co-hosted with Kermit the Frog and Bobby Moynihan.
Yeah, I don't know.
I googled him twice. I'm still not sure I know who he is. Maybe our American listeners are more familiar with Bobby Moynihan
but
than I.
The thing that made it very awkward is that it was very apparent that no one in the O2 knew who Bobby Moynihan was.
He did an okay job. He like got the, he nailed the
yeah,
tone.
Yeah, definitely. But I mean, I don't know. They spent so much time referencing British and London stuff in a lot of the acts that it seemed very odd to have a relatively unknown American comedian be the guest. That felt a bit jarring.
That was kind of the thing. Like, I really, really enjoyed the show, and it was great, and it was so magic to see, yeah, to see the workings of the puppeteers doing their thing, to see all those great puppets that we love, hear the voices, have it all happen live and see how they're interacting. What I really could have done without was quite so much, like, reference to the fact that they're in London.
Yeah.
So they did, like, this whole medley where they did, like, the greatest hits of, like, 60s and 70s British Britpop invasion stuff. So they did like The Clash, and they did like a David Bowie track and stuff like that. It's like, I don't
they
need
did Queen.
That. Yeah. Although it was quite good seeing Gonzo in the Freddie Mercury role of Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah,
that
was
pretty special.
So, like, you know, it was more good than anything, you know.
It was phenomenal.
Yeah, it was great.
I will never ever forget it. And seeing Gonzo there, there was a bit where, like, the first time Gonzo came on stage, Bobby Moynihan, the guest host, ran up to him and said, "Gonzo, you've always been my favorite. When I was a kid, you made it okay to be weird." And Gonzo said, "It's not okay to be weird. It's amazing to be weird." And wanted to hug him so hard.
Yeah, so I think it was a winner from us.
It was an absolute winner, chicken dinner.
I would say go and see the show, apart from that by the time this goes out, the show will have finished. It finishes tonight. But if you see, like, a Muppets live show coming your way, then I think it's worth a watch.
I think these Muppet characters are going to catch on, you know, Tom.
I think they've got a bright future.
I thought you were about to say they've got some legs, and I was going to tell you they literally don't. Hey-o!
Damn it, we're a bit out of the game with this podcasting banter. We'll get there. We'll get back to it.
Which brings us to, thank you very much for listening to this quick little update, or Muppdate, if you will. As we said, sorry that we've been away a little while, but them babies, you know, they're not just for a weekend, are they?
Like me and my wife always say, babies be babies.
Babies be babies. Babies gonna baby.
They do, and it's a lot, but it's good, and we're all doing good. Me and Todd are doing good.
We hope you're doing good. We've had a lovely day together.
Yeah.
It's been nice, like old times, Tommy
D. Old times.
So listen, we don't know exactly when we're coming back, but we will let you know when we're coming back. So keep your peepers peeled.
Yeah, and until next time, I'm Tom Denny.
I'm Todd Jordan.
Bork, bork, bork.
Bork and bork, bork.
If there's anything I can ever do for you.
There is one thing.
What?
Let me finish my song.
Oh, of course. I'd love to hear it.
Now I don't have a coat of silk, but still I have the sky. Now I don't have a lady, but there goes a butterfly. Now I don't have a house of stone, but I can see the sea. Now most of all, I know that I am happy to be me.
What is this? What is your
magician's code?